Welcome in. Hour number two on 104.5 The Zone. How much fun was Keith Bullock? We appreciate him hanging out with us for the first hour. We got a lot more to do, a lot more conversations to have about the quarterback situation. Boys and girls, I want to know how you feel about what they should do in 2022. 615-737-1045, that's the number. What should the Titans' plan be at the quarterback position moving forward into this next season? I'm not talking about long term. I'm talking about in the immediate. So that's all that matters right now. How do you advance from the point where you were unable to survive against the Cincinnati Bengals because of your offense? And there was ineptitudes on all sides, not just quarterback, but coaching decisions, lack of execution. Again, mostly on the coordinator and the quarterback in particular, but they cannot be the only two reasons they lost, although those are two pretty important reasons to lose or win a football game, in your case, taking an L. So what do they do? I think it's an interesting conversation because Keith Bullock and I, we were talking about this, right? Have they plateaued with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback? You made an AFC championship game. You lost that AFC championship game. And the way that you lost that AFC championship game is because Patrick Mahomes got some momentum, started pulling away. You didn't necessarily have the firepower at the time to be able to keep pace with him because of the way that the offense is constructed. And at the time, we looked at that and said, all right, they could be better, but they, at the time, it just felt like lucky to be there, right? In 2019, lucky to be there. Then in 2020, you host a home playoff game. Things are weird in COVID, and you don't know exactly what's going to translate from 2020 to a more normalized NFL season that we got this year. But you look at the Titans offense and say, all right, they've taken a step up. They can compete with the big boys as far as these games are concerned, and then the defense is just unholy awful. And then you get to the playoff game, the home playoff game that you're going to host in the wild card round against the Baltimore Ravens, and the offense is what falls short. Specifically, the quarterback is what falls short, and Derrick Henry is bottled up, and they force Ryan Tannehill to try and make a play, and he can't in that circumstance. Then you get to Saturday, and Saturday, Lucas Panzeca, who's making everything happen behind the scenes, as he does each and every day. God bless him for it. Lucas, is it an unfair characterization to say that Ryan Tannehill wilted in the moment? Do you think that is unfair of me?
No, he threw three interceptions in a playoff game with the season on the line. I don't think that's an unfair characterization. There are a lot of factors that go into that, but sure, that is what happened.
All right, so Ryan Tannehill wilted in a playoff game. We're talking about the three interceptions, but what also goes less discussed or under-discussed, the decision to keep it on third and one when Tannehill has the option to hand it off to Derrick Henry. You have a 250-pound skyscraper of running back and the damn ball off. If Derrick Henry can't get inches, and by the way, he couldn't get inches on the two-point conversion play, so maybe you're not necessarily feeling as confident in that, but still, if you're riding with one or the other on a third and one, I think most people would say, yeah, Derrick Henry on the carry instead of Ryan Tannehill, unless it's going to be a quarterback sneak, which, of course, they did not do. It's not just that. It's overthrowing A.J. Brown when you could have had him earlier in the game for probably a 70-yard touchdown. And frankly, he probably could have had two touchdown passes to A.J. Brown, given the fact that I think it was a 40-yard gain that he hit him on. He didn't quite lead him as well as you would have liked him to. Maybe not a full-on touchdown pass, but at least yards after the catch in a way that would have allowed AJ to basically play to his strengths, right? Play speed, play strength. That's how this offense is constructed. Mike Vrabel said it best on Monday. We have to be great around Ryan Tannehill. Because Ryan Tannehill has some attributes, and again, I'm paraphrasing largely, but I'm translating in Vrabelese for you. When they say they have to be great around him, they truly do mean it. Because Ryan Tannehill does have some attributes that can win you football games. I'm not going to do just recency bias, even though the last game that we saw him play was the most important game. And that game was lost in dramatic fashion. I'm not going to do recency bias because I've seen that quarterback do too much good to completely dismiss him outright. But when we talk about feasible quarterback solutions moving forward, and I'm talking about immediate quarterback solutions moving forward, I'm curious as to what people are wanting them to do and how grounded in reality that is. 615-737-1045. Speaking of not grounded in reality, let's go to Darrington, who's up first on 104.5 The Zone. Hey, buddy.
Hey. In the words of Buck, hello, friends.
Hello.
Just real quick. I'm going to run this real, real quick. One, can you tell me when Don Davenport's coming off IR? I would love to know that. You know, that's your job. I need to know that for the people.
I can't. I wish I'll take the L for the day. I can't tell you. I don't know.
Gosh, now. Okay, I need a real quick yes or no. Real quick. Do you believe that you're supposed to act like you've been there before?
Yes.
Then why did we have a pep rally for a regular playoff game when you were just in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago?
You know, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So you disagree with the pep rally?
Yeah, like act like you've been there before. You were just in the AFC Championship 2 years ago. Why are you having a pep rally for a regular playoff game?
Because you could sell merch and make more money. You could sell merch and make more money, Darrington. It's a good business decision.
And then you know what you do? You have people ready to jump off a building because they got so hyped and excited. Yeah. What did I tell you Thursday? You said the Titans are expected to win this game.
Yep.
Every time the Titans are expected to win a game, they lose it. But expecting that. Next, let me help you out for your job. Everybody wants Russell Wilson. It will cost the Tennessee Titans the equivalent of Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard, Tannehill, and a first-round draft pick to get Russell. That's just what Seattle would probably ask for if they was that stupid. Next, your best chance is to go get Matt Ryan. Point blank, period. Go to Arthur. He would love Ryan Tannehill. That's when he worked his best. A couple years younger. And the way quarterbacks are protected, you can get more years, and you can just go into the offensive line. Hey, that's all I had for you. Real quick, real smooth. Bang, bang, bang. Y'all tighten up, people.
Thanks for the call. He's not allowed to say it, is he? He can't come in here and rip the pep rally and then say, tighten up. He can't do that. He just did it. I love that guy. 615-7. I know most people hate him. I love him. 615-737-1045. All right, his point about Tannehill is well taken. I'm not going to get into the pep rally stuff. Like, it's good business. Go sell more stuff. Go get more people excited to buy tickets to your football game. The pep rally, I get. The Tannehill situation, though, and as far as Russell Wilson trade, because here's what I want to say to you, okay? Just you and me. The way that I feel about this situation and the proposed trades, I am aware of the Matt Stafford, Jared Goff deal, okay? I am aware that big quarterback contracts are being moved in this day and age, and I'm aware that the salary cap has meant less. It's still important for long-term sustainability. But what I'll say to you is I'm aware that the salary cap situation is as fluid in real time as ever it has been, with voidable years and ways to make the money work, because it's all just monopoly money that you're playing with. That being said, the burden and the effort that you would have to go through to make those things work are going to outweigh the benefit, cost-benefit analysis on Russell and on Aaron Rodgers. Okay, the Deshaun Watson situation, that's the one conversation I'm just frankly not willing to entertain with anybody. I'm not interested in if you want Deshaun Watson or not. I would tell you if that is where your priorities are aligned, I would tell you to get new priorities, because that is not a feasible solution, particularly given that quarterback won 4 games when last he played in the NFL. Hell out of here with Deshaun Watson. But the other two, I want to have a legitimate conversation with you about it. But what I'll tell you is the cost-benefit analysis far outweighs, or the cost analysis of that far outweighs the benefit, even if you truly believe that the Titans, as currently constructed, are one piece away, because that's never as easy as it sounds. We're going to continue this conversation. You're going to hear from Mike Vrabel and from Taylor Lewan about an interesting conversation that I want to have about the quarterback, and I'm going to give you some realistic options for 2022. We'll do that and your phone calls coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right, I've botched this. I've screwed this up tremendously. It's a Wednesday. Well, I completely forgot that we're doing Dumbest Thing in Sports. We'll do that later on in the show, since We've already planned to have this quarterback conversation here, but I know how much people love to get those things off their chest with how many dumb things there are swirling around in sports right now. So we'll get back to it. I promise there'll be plenty of time for the dumbest thing in sports. But I want to outline some realistic quarterback solutions for you in 2022 for the Tennessee Titans. So let's take a look at Ryan Tannehill's contract specifically, and let's talk about how much money, according to Spotrac, okay, I'm going to give you the figures. Now, we know that Ryan Tannehill, coming into the 2020 season, signed a four-year, $118 million contract. Of that $118 million, 91 total was guaranteed. There were 62 guaranteed at signing. He is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent in 2024. So this coming season and the 23 season are on the books right now. There is a potential out at the end of 2022. So at the end of the next season, they could essentially get rid of him with the total contract being 3 years, $91 million, with an $18.8 million dead cap hit. So that's the next time, 2023, where it becomes feasible to move on financially from Ryan Tannehill if you can't find a trade partner. Now, Ryan Tannehill is going to be 34 this upcoming season. He is scheduled to make a base salary of $29 million. This is the most money that he is scheduled to make over the course of this contract because of the restructure. Now, $29 million in base salary and $38.6 as a part of the cap. He accounts for over 18%, the most by a mile, the most by double. The next closest to Ryan Tannehill is Kevin Byard as far as percentage of cap that they are taking up. $38.6 million is Ryan Tannehill's cap hit this coming season, and a dead cap hit of $57.4 million. So even if you find a trade partner for Ryan Tannehill, which right now is unrealistic, could something materialize? Potentially. Should all options be explored? Of course they should. But what I will say to you is this. Ryan Tannehill very, very much looks to be the quarterback for 2022 outright. Now, with that being said, since we're having realistic conversations, with that in mind, that excludes Aaron Rodgers, who is not yet available. It excludes Russell Wilson, who is not yet available. Unrestricted free agents at quarterback for this season, I'll go through the list for you, the unrestricted free agents at the quarterback position for 2022 are going to be underwhelming, I would say to you, at this point, when you kind of go through the list, and I will do that with you right now. There's some big names that will be available after the season, but not, again, necessarily at the quarterback position. When you're looking at the quarterback position specifically, you can go down the list and you can find names that will not necessarily jump off the page at you. I'm looking at Joe Flacco. I'm looking at Teddy Bridgewater. There's Ben Roethlisberger. There's Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett. Oh, look at that, Lucas. Marcus Mariota will be available on the free agent market. Bring him home. Please and thank you, Caleb Farley. So Marcus Mariota's out there, kids. We could relive that whole experience over and over again. I mean, it's a bunch of Marcus Mariotas out there. I'm looking at Dwayne Haskins, Josh Rosen, like on and on and on it goes. Nothing that would particularly intrigue you. Now, elsewhere, when you look at the draft, because that then becomes the next conversation. Maybe you bring in somebody as a backup quarterback, but like Flacco is not going to push Ryan Tannehill. Flacco is going to push Logan Woodside. And if you're looking to keep your finances in check, a more expensive veteran quarterback is not the solution. So let's take a look at the draft class at this point at the quarterback position, because when we had Harry Douglas on on, what was that, Monday, Harry said, this is not the year for you to draft a quarterback if you're talking about the future. So let's take a look at this, shall we? You know Kenny Pickett, who's going to be the consensus top choice at quarterback, not the consensus top overall choice. That's probably going to be Aiden Hutchinson, the edge defender out of Michigan. But Kenny Pickett is the top quarterback. Then followed by, and not necessarily in order, I'm just looking at the list of quarterbacks who will be available, Malik Willis at Liberty, Matt Corral of Ole Miss. You've got Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder, who was in the playoff game this year against Georgia and was summarily stomped. No, Cincinnati played Alabama, forgive me. Against Alabama, Cincinnati was summarily stomped. Sam Howell, who was disappointing this year at North Carolina. Then you get into the lesser-known prospects, Carson Strong at Nevada. Is it Zappe or Zapp at Western Kentucky? I should know this, given it's an hour north of us.
Zappe, and he lit it up this past season.
I would say beware of spread quarterbacks coming out of that Western Kentucky offense. That's how you end up with Taywan Taylor is a third-round pick. I know quarterback is different than wide receiver, and I know the coaching staff is different, but still, all right, be cautious of those things. Caleb Ellaby at Western Michigan, Skylar Thompson at Kansas State, and Dustin Crum at Kent State. Those are the top 10 quarterbacks that will be available in that draft class. Now, of those 10, probably two are true first-round picks. And none of those guys, by consensus, by people who you talk to throughout the course of the draft process, certainly in talking to scouts, and I'll be able to give you guys a lot more information next week, when I'm doing the show live from the Senior Bowl at Mobile, Alabama, where several of these guys will be participating. At this point, none of these are franchise-changing quarterbacks. Now, is there the ability for somebody of these 10 to find a way through? I mean, remember, as we've talked about before, 2017, which was the Trubisky-Mahomes-Watson draft, that was considered a weak quarterback class. I'm not saying that Malik Willis is the next coming of Patrick Mahomes or that Desmond Ridder can live up to what Deshaun Watson was at Clemson. Of course, that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that it is a reasonable expectation that one of those players will have a fine NFL career. But you're talking about a team that's built to win right now. So could you, you're rolling with Ryan Tannehill either way. Ryan Tannehill's going to be on your roster. It is unrealistic to consider a trade for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. If you are looking at a draft pick to push Logan Woodside, and if in a best-case scenario, push Ryan Tannehill, is this the draft to do it? My answer to you, and based on early evaluations, I haven't really dug into my pre-draft study just yet. In fact, I'm doing that very much this week before I head down to Mobile because there's going to be a lot of players to learn in a hurry getting ready for the draft process. What I'll say to you, just based off my assessment, and again, I'm no quarterback coach. I'm just simply somebody who's paid to watch and analyze and discuss professional football. What I will say to you about this is that in this draft, I think that there are better uses for the 26th overall selection, which is where you are picking at this point. Could you trade up? Yes. Are any of these quarterbacks worth it? Probably not. I would be shocked to see any of these quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett being the top prospect, I'd be shocked to see a quarterback go in the top five this year. It's entirely possible that draft stock will be inflated the more time that talking heads and the internet gets to spinning and all of these things, but I will say to you that it would be surprising at this point, based on pure talent and tape study, that any of these guys would be selected in the top five. So, is that how you want to expend your 26th overall pick, or would you rather try and, you know, supercharge an offense that's largely built to win right now with some talent? Do you trust your organization to do that, which is a legitimate question after the last two drafts? I would say to you that John Robinson has proven that he is above average as it relates to his peers, but there have been some serious whiffs. And in a time when you just simply have no margin for error, this time being right now, do you feel like that's the best approach? Or do you think when there is a better quarterback class in 2023, are you willing to wait it out? My opinion, I would say ride with what you have in Tannehill. If you can find an upgrade at the backup quarterback position in Woodside, do so. But look to bolster the roster with young, affordable talent with the players that you have in place, i.e. Ryan Tannehill. I would say stick with the situation, try and upgrade the backup, and do as much as you can to fortify the depth and the strength of what this offense already does. I'm curious to know how you feel about the situation, because I feel like a lot of people are hearing that and being like, bleep that. I want nothing to do with that. 615-737-1045. And frankly, I don't know that I could blame you in the immediacy of that loss on Saturday. Go to Andy in Clarksville, who's up first on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, man. At least I'm first in something, huh?
You sure are.
Hey, fellas, I love your show. So does my wife. I wanted to let y'all know that. I got a couple of things I wanted to. I'm on your side. I think we need to keep Tannehill. First, you know, he was the great Messiah. He does good, and everybody's behind him, and he made a mistake in a playoff game. I'm not saying it's forgivable, but I believe the coaching Tannehill a little bit better would maybe bring that around. I really do. My second comment, and after I do this, I'll listen to what you guys have to say. The last few downs of the game when he threw the interception, wouldn't it have been feasible to run? I mean, to run the football, maybe run about 4 or 5 seconds off the clock. I know Cincinnati had timeouts, but to get them down to the end of their field and let them make the decision about whether or not they want to go to overtime or turn over the ball. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20 when it comes to football.
Sure.
But the way the defense was playing, man, they were fantastic, dude. I mean, they were playing lights out. And, I believe we would have had a shot at overtime. I don't think Cincinnati would have took a chance on turning the football over on their end of the field, and maybe it would have went into overtime. And again, we would have lost the coin toss, but the defense was playing lights out. And I'll let you guys ponder that, and I'll hear what y'all have to say.
Thanks very much for the call, Andy. We appreciate you and your wife who listened to the show. Family affair, Lucas. I always forget people like listen with other people. Like I was introduced to somebody who's been listening to us for a long time. She's a school teacher. She drives around with her grandkids and she listens to our show, which is always a shock to the system for me. But about the quarterbacks or about the final seconds in that game, the final minute in that game, running the football would have done nothing but bled more time off. And by the way, the urgency, the only thing that I would criticize in that final minute is why the hell did it take so long to get that 3rd and 5 play off? There was so much time that was bled off the clock, especially when you have 2 timeouts. Now, Cincinnati did have timeouts that they had in the second half. And maybe, you know, you run the football to try and play for overtime, I guess, right out of the gate. I think based on how the defense was playing, you liked your chances to stop Joe Burrow. And there will be, you know, points brought up about the overtime rule with the way that Kansas City-Buffalo game ended, but running the football would have done nothing but, you know, bleed the clock more. And if they know that the run is coming, well, then you still risk the idea that you would be giving Cincinnati a possession. Now, they ended up getting it anyway because your play call and your situational awareness was poor, to put it lightly. And somehow, with less than 20 seconds left on the clock, Cincinnati got a possession back in a way that should never have happened, ever. 615-737-1045. Bam is in Nashville up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Bam.
Good, bud. How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, buddy.
Man, look, here's my the thing that on Tannehill is we go in the regular season, he's great, he's phenomenal, but it seems like every year in the playoffs, the first year, Garrett carried us through there. He didn't throw that much. Then when we had to depend on him in the AFC Championship game, he could get through. Last year, regular season, he's great. Then we get put out by Lamar. The third and five or third down in both situations the last years, he's thrown a pick and we've been home because of the same thing. That is like kind of glaring and kind of hard to say. That's your third time in the charm. Now, I'm going to say this. Last year when we got to talking about, oh, what's the potential of Julio coming here? Everybody, it's not going to happen. Y'all get it out your head. J-Rod made it happen.
So what I'm saying is don't just act like J-Rob ain't going to toss this Russell Wilson thing around or that he understands what's going on. The first thing is first, he needs to get Todd Downing out of here. That's first. Go get Tim Kelly or somebody, and let's try to put this together because the window that we have with this team is getting shorter and shorter, man. So I just wanted to, you know, throw that out there. I love Teddy Hill's character, but we need a cold-blooded assassin at this point.
Thanks for the call, Bam. And listen, as I told you, even as I think the Wilson conversation and Rodgers conversation is ridiculous, all options are being considered. Every one of them, including those two. Again, those two aren't currently available right now. So you have to be realistic about the chances. One, they have to become available, truly. They have to be willing to leave their situations. Two, you have to find a feasible trade partner. And three, you have to make the money work. And there's a massive difference between an underpaid Julio Jones and a quarterback who's at value, especially one coming off an MVP season, probably back-to-back MVPs in the case of Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson, who is not known to be cap-friendly, is the way that I should put it. Ryan Tannehill is, even as you may detest the idea that he's going to be on your cap for $38 million this year, based on the average annual value, he's pretty affordable at this point. 615-737-1045 is the number. What would you do at quarterback in 2022? I've kind of outlined my options for you, and the best option to me is stick with Tannehill. Find a backup that's better than Woodside if you can. If not, keep Woodside. And wait till next year to potentially, or in all likelihood, draft a Tannehill replacement. But that draft class is not this draft class in 2022, from my perspective. Let's hear from Dalton in White's Creek up next. What's up, Dalton?
How are you, Buck?
I'm well, thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller here.
Love it.
I heard somebody earlier mention kind of something to this, but I haven't really heard anything as to this aspect of it. So we've seen flashes of greatness from Tannehill. We know he has the attributes to make all the throws. He can extend plays. He can do all the things. Why are we not going after the best quarterback's coach available? Because a lot of the flaws in his game are coachable, and I feel like are fixable. So why are we not exploring that aspect of it? Secondly, Derrick Henry is my favorite player in the league, period. But he should have been number two behind Foreman. Foreman has the hot hand. Look at what he did compared to what Henry did. When I saw Derrick Henry, I believe it was in the third quarter, cutting to his right towards the sideline and just fell down. Normally, that defender that he was one-on-one with, he throws him in the second row. He fell down on his own. That let me know that he was not ready for the game. And that's okay if you're not ready. We get that. But he should have been pulled. He should have been second. We should have stayed with the hot hand that was putting up all the yards over this past 8-10 games. That's all I got for you guys.
Thanks for the call, Dalton. We appreciate it. 615-737-1045. I'll talk about the Henry thing coming up next. We'll take more of your phone calls as well. We've got the dumbest thing in sports coming up for you later. So if you've got one in mind, there's precious few phone lines open. So if you want to jump in early for the dumbest thing in sports, you can do that as well. But I'll answer that question on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. We got the dumbest thing in sports coming up here in just a little bit. Got some stuff we got to get off our chest between Lucas and I. Do that later on. But in the meantime, we've been talking about what should be the solution for the Titans at quarterback moving forward. Again, to outline mine for you, you ride with Ryan Tannehill. You find a way to upgrade the backup quarterback position if no such upgrade exists. You keep Logan Woodside. And you consider drafting a quarterback in 2023. After Ryan Tannehill's contract makes it much, much easier to move on from. Because this year's quarterback class at 26th overall where you're picking? Nah. That ain't it. We go to Michael, who's in Charlotte, North Carolina, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Buck. Thanks for taking the call. My gut tells me they're going to stick with Tannehill. Do I trust him? Absolutely not. But I do think that's the most feasible option here. But my question to you is, does it turn into a chess match? What if, you know, the AFC quarterbacks we currently have, if any combination of Aaron Rodgers and Wilson come over and, say, go to Denver, who's probably a quarterback away, and the other one goes to Indy, does that turn into a chess match where we feel like if one of them land at one of those two places, does Tennessee say, hey, we need to revisit and go after the other? I think they stick with Tannehill here. If you could get a quarterback, I don't think he'll last around, but I think the guy out of Liberty, if he sticks around to about the third round, I'll take a flyer on him and try to get him into the system and maybe look at getting rid of Tanny the following year. I'll hang up and listen to your call.
Thanks very much for the call, Michael. Again, the idea of getting in on the quarterback conversation with the guys who, again, I remind you, are not yet available in Rodgers and Wilson and may not be available. It's all just speculation at this point, although Russell Wilson's agent has previously put out a list of four teams that Russell would be willing to be traded to. So it's not like there isn't some interest in moving there. But again, who is taking the Tannehill contract? Because that's what the thesis of my argument is. Who is taking that $38 million cap hit off of your hands for a quarterback who just threw three picks in a playoff game? Now, again, I don't think all three picks were on him. I think that probably two of them could have been avoided. In fact, I do think that two of them could have been avoided with just a little more situational awareness from both him and Todd Downing. But again, who takes his contract if you're going to get into the conversation for these other guys? The answer is there's not really anybody who's equipped to do that right now.
That's where people pointing to the Stafford thing is so unproductive, right?
Because they flip-flopped him.
Right.
Yes.
The Rams were willing to take Stafford's contract. The Rams were willing to give up a lot of draft capital to obtain Matt Stafford. It's just, it's apples and oranges.
There's not a parallel for what we're talking about here. Now, it's a lazy comparison to make. And again, if you're making that comparison, I'm not calling you outright lazy. I'm just telling you, please look into the details of that a little more. Look what Stafford was on the books for Detroit for and what Goff was on the books for L.A. for already. They were already accounting for a high-priced quarterback. All they had to do was give up the draft capital for him and then assume the years on Stafford's contract and the Lions the same with Goff. It's not a parallel. Rob is in Nashville, up next on the quarterback situation. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how you doing? Just listening to you and everything about, you know, Tannehill. I mean, sometimes you got to take a hit, I mean, in order to get something better. I don't know how they're going to do this, but I think that, you know, they may have to just shuffle around some people that they already got. I mean, because if the fan base loses, like, interest in this team, I mean, this team is doomed anyway, because we all know Tannehill, he has to have the team around him, and he has to have the fans there. And this fan base is upset because, I mean, he had all the fans out there the other day, I mean, a whole support system, and still couldn't get it done. So, anyway.
All right, Rob, who are you moving? Don't give me problems. Give me solutions. Who are you going to move?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Just like other people, just make it happen. People just want to see this happen.
I appreciate the call, Rob, but that's completely unrealistic. Like, here's my issue with this, and I don't mean to cut Rob off, but like, that's just an unproductive call. Like, what am I going to do with that? I don't know what they're going to do. Just do something. I'm telling you what they can do. You don't have a quarterback for quarterback trade straight up. Now, maybe you would say, let me take a look at Matt Ryan's money right now, because Matt Ryan is a name that comes up. But again, you lose then the ability to make plays with your legs. You no longer, Matt Ryan rolling out is not the same threat that Ryan Tannehill is. All right, Matt Ryan, who has been playing good football and has just been damned by the situation in Atlanta. Matt Ryan's contract, and I've got it in front of me right now, his contract, his cap hit. Lucas, you want to guess what Matt Ryan's cap hit is next year?
Is it hefty?
It is substantial.
Is it like Tannehill-level substantial?
It is Tannehill-level substantial.
Wow. Is it in the 60s?
Cap hit? No. Ryan Tannehill is 38.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the dead money. Is it in the 40s?
It's in the 40s. What is the number for Matt Ryan?
I'm going to say 44.
48.6.
So much money.
48.6. And you want to trade for Matt Ryan? What? I mean, come on, guys. Like, this is what I'm saying. I'm not mad at Rob. Rob's just representative of the thing that I'm mad at. I'm mad at the idea that people are coming to the table with no real solution. And while I'm sitting here trying to give you the solution, you huff and puff at me and say, it's not good enough, damn it. Give me Russell Wilson. I can't. I literally can't. And I can't even get you Matt Ryan because he costs $48.6 million next year. I'm shocked by that. People think the Titans are in a bad cap situation. What do you think? Why do you think Art and Terry Fontenot, I think, is the GM down there. Why do you think Terry and Art trying to ship Julio Jones off so bad? Because they're in cap hell, like the seventh circle of cap hell. And you want to trade for Matt Ryan and his $48.6 million cap hit. What? Ugh. Maybe I can get some sense. Maybe this segment is salvageable. Maybe Sue Ann, who's in Nashville, she jumps straight to the line when she's on the call screen. Maybe Sue Ann can give us some sensibility here. Good. Oh, she dropped. She never wanted anything to do with it. She dropped. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We'll get to your phone calls on this coming up next. We got the dumbest thing in sports as well. Maybe Sue Ann will come back. Maybe we will hear her music in the background. And maybe this conversation will be saved. Or maybe not. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.